Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 sound design lesson, where we're building a classic air horn hit for jungle and old school DNB vibes. This is one of those sounds that can instantly bring attitude, pressure, and that rude dancefloor energy. And the best part is, we're not just grabbing a sample and moving on. We're rebuilding it from scratch so you actually understand how to make it hit hard, sit in the mix, and work with a rolling bassline and chopped break. Think of this as an accent instrument, not just an effect. A good horn hit is like a second voice in the track. It answers the drums, it punctuates the bassline, and it gives your arrangement a sense of movement without cluttering everything up. In drum and bass, especially jungle and darker old-school styles, that kind of punctuation is huge. So let's get into it. Start with an empty MI track and load either analog or wavy-able. For this kind of sound, analog is a really strong starting point because it naturally gives you that raw, slightly unstable character. Wavy-able can also work if you want a cleaner path, but we're aiming for something a little rude, a little unstable, and definitely not polite. If you're using analog, start simple. Use a saw wave on oscillator 1, then another saw or maybe a square wave on oscillator 2. Detune them just a little, somewhere around 5 to 12 cents. Nothing huge. We want movement and tension, not a giant super saw pad. Keep the voice count at 1 so the sound stays tight and mono. In DNB, that mono stability matters, especially when this hit needs to live above a serious bassline. Turn the sub oscillator on if you want, but keep it controlled. This is not about making the horn itself a sub-B sound. It's about implying weight without stepping on the bass. Now shape the envelope. This is where the horn character really starts to show itself. The transient is the whole game here. If the front edge is weak, it won't read as a horn. It'll just sound like a soft synth stab. Set the amp attack extremely short, basically 0 to 5 milliseconds. Then bring the decay down into a short range, maybe 180 to 350 milliseconds. Keep sustain very low, around 0 to 20%, and set release short as well, around 50 to 120 milliseconds. You want this to bark, not hang around. For the filter envelope, use a quick attack and a short decay. Let the filter open hard at the start, then close down a bit as the note fades. That little bright burst at the front is what gives the sound its aggressive blast feeling. It's that attack that makes the horn jump out of the speakers. Now let's think musically. The note choice matters a lot more than people expect. In jungle and old school DNB, horn hits often work best when they're not too sweet or too melodic. Try the root note of the key first. Then test the minor third or the minor fifth if you want more tension. You can also try octave jumps for a bigger, more aggressive call. For example, if your track is in F minor, try F2, Ab2, and C3. Another useful move is stacking the same note in two octaves for a thicker blast. Keep the MIDI note short. This should feel like punctuation, not a melody line. Once the core tone is there, add some saturation. Put saturator after the synth and drive it lightly, maybe 3 to 8 dB. Turn on soft clip if needed. The goal is to bring out the harmonics so the sound speaks on smaller systems and cuts through the mix on bigger ones too. This is especially important in DNB, where the low end is already doing a lot of heavy lifting. If you want a bit more edge, try overdrive before saturator, but keep it subtle. You're looking for rude energy, not harshness for its own sake. If the sound starts getting painful around the upper mids, use EQ8 or channel EQ to tame it a little, especially around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz if needed. Now let's add weight without muddying the sub. This part is important. The horn should feel heavy, but it should not own the sub region. That's the bass line's job. A good way to do this is to create an instrument rack with two chains. One chain is your main horn tone. The other is a low support layer. For the support layer, use a sine or triangle style source. Keep it simple, mono, and low passed so it only contributes body. You can low pass it around 120 to 200 Hz, add just a touch of saturation so it translates on different systems, and keep the width at zero with utility. Blend that layer in very quietly. You should feel the weight more than hear a separate sub note. This is one of those things that makes a patch feel much bigger without turning the mix into a mess. If you want even more movement, add a little modulation, but keep it under control. This is still a hit, not a lead synth. In wavy-able, you can modulate wavy-able position slightly. In analog, a tiny amount of oscillator drift or filter envelope movement can do the trick. You can also drop auto filter after the synth, and automate the cutoff so it opens slightly on the attack, and then closes down during the decay. A bent pass or low pass sweep can make the sound feel like it's blasting through a tunnel of breakbeats. That kind of motion adds urgency, and urgency is a big part of what makes a DNB drop feel alive. At this point, It's a great idea to commit the sound to auto. Resample it. This is a classic jungle workflow move and it gives you a lot more control. Record a few versions with different note lengths or slight variations, then pick the best one and work from auto. Once it's printed, you can trim the start tightly, reverse it for tension, slice it into smaller bits, or place it into a break for micro edits. If you want a rougher, more vintage edge, add redux very lightly after resampling. Just a touch of downsampling or bit reduction can give it that gritty old-school digital feel, but don't overcook it. The body still needs to hit. You can also load the resampled horn into simpler in slice mode and turn it into a playable mini instrument. That's really useful if you want to create multiple horn variations across a breakdown or a switch-up. Now comes the part where the sound actually becomes useful in an arrangement. A horn hit works best when it interacts with the drums and bass instead of fighting them. Think about phrase placement. In a jungle drop, it can land on the last 1/8 or 1/16 before a phrase change. In a roller, it might answer the bass line in a two-bar call and response. In an old-school style section, it can hit on the end of beat 2 or beat 4 to create syncopation against the break. Before a drop, a short horn hit followed by a reverb tail or delay throw can create a great warning shot effect. For example, you might have bar 1 as a break and bass loop, then bar 2 beat 4 gets the horn stab, bar 3 lets the bass answer, and bar 4 brings in a filtered or reversed horn that leads back into the loop. That kind of phrasing makes the track feel like it's breathing. And when you place the horn in the mix, check it against the full arrangement, not just in solo. A sound that feels huge by itself can completely fall apart when the kick, snare, and bass all come in. That's why low-end separation matters so much in DNB. Use utility to check mono, especially if you've added any width. Keep the horn from masking the bass line. High-pass any reverb returns so they don't crowd the low-end. If the bass loses power when the horn hits, trim the horn down before you try to fix it with more processing. If you want a little extra glue, route the horn through a group or bus with subtle processing. Drum bus can add transient weight and harmonic drive. Glue compressor can help if you've layered multiple horn chains together. Utility is great for gain staging and checking mono compatibility. Now, a few common mistakes to avoid. Don't make the horn too long. In this context, it should be a hit, not a pad. Don't let the low layer get too big or you'll steal space from the bass. Don't oversaturate the mids or it'll become harsh and tiring. Don't widen the source too early. And don't ignore the note choice, because the wrong pitch can make the whole thing sound cheap or cartoonish. A really useful coach tip here is to keep one version that's almost too simple. A stripped-down horn often works better in a crowded jungle mix than a heavily processed one. Save a clean patch before you start going wild with distortion and modulation. That way you can always come back to something focused and punchy. Also, listen at low volume while you're editing. If the horn still feels urgent when turned down, it's probably built well. If it disappears, it may be relying too much on harsh top end instead of a solid envelope and strong mid-range body. If you want to push it further, there are some great advanced variations. You can build a dual character horn, with one chain for bright bite and another for darker body, then blend them with macros. You can add a tiny pitch bend at the very start for extra aggression. You can push a Foreman-style bandpass shape to make the hit feel more vocal. You can even split the note into an attack layer and a tail layer, so each part gets its own processing. And if you want that extra old-school danger, try resampling a few slightly different versions and rotating them across the arrangement. One brighter, one darker, one more distorted. That variation keeps repeated hits from feeling copied and pasted. For your practice session, make 3 versions, one clean and punchy, one dirtier and more saturated, and one darker and more filtered. Resample all 3, then place them into a 4-bar loop with a chopped breakbeat and a simple bass pattern. Let the horn answer the bass. Then make one of the horn hits a transition version, with a delay throw or a reverse lead-in. Finally, check the loop in mono and at low volume. Ask yourself 3 questions. Does each horn hit feel distinct? Does the bass still own the low end? And does the horn help move the phrase forward? If the answer is yes, then you've built more than just a sound. You've built a usable DNB horn system that can work as a phrase marker, a drop accent, or proper old-school jungle statement. All right, that's the rebuild. From here, keep experimenting with note choices, envelope shapes, and resampled variations. The more you treat the horn like part of the arrangement, the more that classic pressure starts to show up. And when it lands right, you'll know it. That horn just hits, the break keeps rolling, and the whole room feels it.